because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Jesus, you are my key. You are my key. Jesus, you small.
He is my everything. He's all that really matters. Once I heard somebody say, or I read it somewhere, that if the resurrection didn't take place, then nothing really matters. But if it did take place, that's all that matters. Jesus died, was buried, and raised on the third day, the living Word, to save souls, but number one, to show that God's Word was true. It was God's Word that was being tested. And at the cross is where we find God's Word being made sure to us. You can count on the Word of God. If you open that Bible and you read that Bible, you can stand on that Word. There's nothing in the Bible that can lead you wrong. And there's nothing in the Bible that won't point you to Jesus. I don't care if it's talking about Israel and the last days or the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. That's His bride, by the way. Everything's about Him. It's from Him, for Him, through Him. It's all about Jesus, and I hope we're learning that. I hope we're learning that more than just a phrase. Well, it's all about Jesus. That sounds awful spiritual because it's right. But we can be learning that everything is about Jesus. You've heard me say it before. When this life is over and is no more, all that will have mattered is what He was able to do in you and through you, for you will not remember anything else. You will not remember anything else. Nothing will you remember that He did not do, because it will have been what He said, nothing. You can do what without me? Nothing. And He considers it nothing. So all that is nothing will not be remembered. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Father, we thank You tonight again for giving us a place to gather, Lord, and I thank You for those who would find their way here on a Wednesday night or find their way online to be with us. I praise You for the edification that's found in a gathered people, even in these last days, where just about everything that's supposed to be going on is not, and everything that's not supposed to be going is. I thank You, Lord, for the determined Christians today who stand upon Your Word, tremble at Your Word, and find the very path of righteousness for their feet according to Your Word. We pray that Your touch would be upon every heart in this place tonight, those here and those with us online. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Hug somebody's neck. Tell them you love them. Act like you mean it. We'll be right back.
Face a day ahead that He hasn't seen, and He'll never take you down a road where He doesn't intend to lead. He'll make a way, He'll make a way. Like when Moses led God's people out and they came before the waters, said, lift your staff and stretch out thine hand over the sea, split in half. He made a path. With my God on your side, there never comes a lonely hour. With my God by your side, you've got a friend. And when you're down, He's holding you a little tighter. Oh my God, He's a God with a plan. he's certain to come through. Always on time, he'll make it right. With my God on your side, there never comes a lonely hour. With my God by your side, you've got a
praise the Lord. So glad you're with us tonight. Glad to be here. Amen. Sun shining outside. Amen. Sun shining in here. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, this Saturday is Brother Nick and Sister Angel's wedding reception here at the church from 2 to 6. It's come and go. Stay as long as you like. 2 to 6. And just looking forward to that. Don't forget the garage sale May 2nd through the 4th. Bring your stuff. And get ready to have a great garage sale. Again, huh? Yeah, you can start bringing your stuff on Sunday if you'd like and put it in the storage building and maybe the kitchen. Well, not the kitchen. Well, yeah. Sunday will be fine to put it in the kitchen. And just didn't want it in the kitchen before the shower. Amen. Well, that's about all we're going to announce tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's blessing on His people tonight, on you and all of those of you watching online and just everything that's going on in this world. Everybody thinks everything's falling apart, but it's falling into perfect place. And Jesus told us way long time ago that everything's going on now would be going on. We're just fortunate enough to be here to be looking at it, amen, to be here with the gospel on our lips and opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost world and to a backslidden church to try to bring them back home. And we're just excited to be able to be doing all that we're doing here. I'm more excited about this ministry than I've ever been. We have a greater unity among us now than we ever have in all the years, because we all now know why we're here. We all now know why we're here. It hadn't been that way through the years. There's been here and there spots of people here for this reason, that reason, but now we all know why we're here, because the Lord has, by His grace, made us determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified, and to stand in this great truth and to share it. Amen? To live it and to share it verbally. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, again, thank you for giving us a place to come where we can, Lord, all be of this same like precious faith, Lord, with our eyes all on the same object, Lord, just running this race, Lord, minding the same thing, of the same Spirit, speaking the same thing. We thank you tonight for that glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which you have chosen to save and to give your church everything we need. And we thank you for what you're doing all over the world among those that you've saved. And we thank you, Lord, for even doing things, Lord, outside of that to prepare the stage for the salvation of Israel one of these days. And we thank you, Lord, that you're showing us that no matter who acts like they're in charge and no matter who acts like they're the most powerful, we know who the one is that's all present and all powerful and all-knowing, and our life is in your hands. And we praise you, Lord, for this moment right now that we have to be gathered here, because we don't know if we'll ever be able to again. But we praise you for this moment right now. We praise you for this Wednesday night being able to be gathered here, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stay the course, to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, and to keep running this victorious race. And I pray your revelation of your Son would be on our hearts tonight like never before, in a greater way, and the fire that you lit many years ago would continue to burn brighter and brighter and brighter. We ask your blessings upon those who are sick and not feeling well, those that need a miracle, those that need healing. Lord, we pray that for them tonight, every one of them, that on this night they would be healed and delivered from whatever it is that's hindering them. We pray for our families tonight, that all of our families would be saved. They would come to the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight, Lord, for our families, and we praise you for those open doors in the days ahead, where our mouths will not be found shut, but rather open with the truth upon our lips. And we praise you, Lord, for giving us grace to stand in the unity of the faith alongside those others who are. And we praise you tonight, Lord, for what you're going to say and what you're going to do in this place and all over this country, Lord, tonight, and the world, where your people are gathered together in the name of Jesus around that sacrificial truth of Christ and Him crucified. And we just acknowledge that you are our God and that you are in this place with us right now. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your manifest presence in the hearts of those who apply that faith to Jesus and what he did at Calvary. We praise you for your presence that we can be aware of tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're going to class, now's the time to go. Happy birthday, Andrea Wilson. If you're watching, we love you, and happy birthday to you. I pray you made it to 50, I guess. You probably ain't made it that far. Well, we love you, and we're thankful for you, and we're just excited to be here gathered up in this place tonight. It is a special time. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This might be your last Wednesday night together with the saints. And the reasons could be innumerable, but this could be it. And we need to treat these services as that. We need to let the Lord do what He wants to do in our lives, because this could be it tonight. This could wrap it up. I hope it is. Hallelujah. I hope He comes for all of us tonight. I don't need to do anything else. I just need to go. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10 and 16 is where we'll start tonight. This is the last part 10 of a series I've been ministering titled Faith in Light of the Lamb. And this last part 10, will be the full assurance of faith. Next Wednesday night, Andrew and I will begin to teach on Romans 6 together. So bring your Bibles and your pencil and your paper and your hungry hearts, and let's go back to where it all began for us, where the fire got ignited some years ago, and where we refuse to let it go out. Not going to let it go out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. But we can have a full assurance of faith. That's what this part 10 is going to be about. There's been 9 other sessions, and they've all been concerning faith. And this last one will be 2. And again, it is the full assurance of faith. And if there's anything you need right now, it's the full assurance that faith brings. It's those that do not have the full assurance of faith find doubt and unbelief, sometimes fear and oppression, sometimes even depression. The open door is to not being sure about God. The open door to the enemy is not being sure about God. That's an open door to the enemy. I mean, that's what the devil did to Eve, made her doubt that God could really, fully be counted on. God ain't keeping nothing from you that you need. You can know that for sure. When He gave His Son, He gave you everything. If you get Jesus, you get it all. You just need to study to learn what you already have. Amen. I hope you're not looking for something that you already have. You already have all spiritual blessings. We just need to study the Word and let the Holy Spirit teach us how to apply, what's there, what do we have, and how it's applied, which is always going to be through faith in the sacrifice of Christ. Hebrews 10, let's start in verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. And this again, let me say it tonight. I love to say it. The Holy Spirit here has reached back in the old covenant and pulled a prophetic truth out and laid it on the table for us here in what we're reading. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Where does that happen for us? How does that happen for us? It's not the memorization of scriptures on our part. It's when that we walk after the Spirit through faith in the sacrifice that the righteousness of the law, that is the Word of God, the righteousness of the law, that is the Word of God, is being fulfilled in our hearts. Because there's where God is writing them. That's what he says, the new covenant that He will make with His people in those days, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. In their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that a good thing? That God's not remembered your sin. Quit asking Him to forgive you of something you're not doing anymore that you used to do that makes you still feel bad when you think about it. Quit that. Unless you commit a sin, you ain't got nothing to ask forgiveness for. But I know you are asking for forgiveness because I know you do commit sin. Somebody said amen. You might not be living and practicing in sin, but we do sin. And we ask God to forgive us, and He cleanses us by that precious blood from being in fellowship with Jesus, and He forgets it. And the good news is that you are forgiven from all past sin. Some even greater news is that one day you're going to be able to forget everything God has forgotten. See, right now we hadn't forgotten all that we used to be, but God has. And one day you will forget everything that God has forgotten about you. And the only thing that you'll remember is the Calvary part of your story. That's all you're going to remember is the part of your life where Calvary was able to touch it. Everything else is going to be forgotten. So He says, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. That means where you've been forgiven and your sins have been washed away, there's nothing else anywhere else that can do that. You can't work to get your sins forgiven. You can't get water baptized to get your sins forgiven. You can't do a thing to get your sins forgiven because Jesus already did the one thing that's required for you to be forgiven. And outside of that, there is no offering for sin. Having therefore, verse 19, brothers, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How do we enter in? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. That's a very powerful scripture because it tells us you can't do it, but He did. You can't play a part in your salvation other than believing unto salvation. You can't do a thing to get saved except believe unto the righteous work Jesus carried out at Calvary. You can't do a thing to get saved. The Bible says He by Himself purged us from our sins. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. So let's read that again. Verse 20. By a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, this scripture is a lot in this scripture. We'll try to touch on just a little bit of it tonight, but it points us back even to the old covenant where you had to, when you came into the outer courts, you had to go past the sacrificial altar and then you would wash. The high priest would offer, the priest would offer the sacrifices, and then they would wash. See, there's a process there. Your sins are washed away, and then you're washed by the water of the Word in your fellowship, in your relationship with the Lord now, because the blood cleansed you of all sin, then you can now be washed moment by the water of the Word and enter into that place where you really never have to leave. I thinking the other day about we're like birds sitting on a windowsill, and right there we've got it made. We're looking inside the window and we're gazing on our Savior, and it's a beautiful, beautiful picture that we're seeing of Christ and Him crucified. And that's where we get everything that we'll ever need. That's where we'll be reminded of all that we really are in Him and who He is to us. There's where you must look to see everything God's trying to show you. But sometimes we turn from that view like a little birdie that looks out and says, well, I kind of like that. We fly out there and we get ourselves in trouble because we're no longer looking unto Jesus. Oh, we say we are, but we're not. If we go get ourselves in trouble, we're not looking unto Jesus. And we're like that little bird, and we just fly off out there, and we get ourselves in trouble, and the Lord starts calling us, you need to get back. You need to get back to your first love, your first works, your first faith. You need to get back. Listen, and we like, well, where is that, Lord? I'm out here. I'm in trouble. What do you want me to do? He's going to say, I want you to go back to Calvary. That's where I'm trying to lead you, because your gaze upon Christ is to see what He did at the cross for you. Don't ever let somebody tell you there's no need to keep looking at that. When you turn your head from that, everything about you's in jeopardy. If you're not beholding with the heart that which Christ did, and I ain't talking about words, I'm talking about a yielded heart to that great truth of who He is. It's the only way you can draw near. Now, you do know you can be nearer, more near to the Lord than you are right now, right? Amen? Are you not closer to your spouse now than you were when you... Absolutely. And you can be closer, you can draw more near to the Lord, but the only Lord was ministering this to me today, this morning, about you can only draw near to me, closer and closer to me, if you come the way I prescribed, the way I brought you near the first time. The way I brought you near the first time is the only way that you can approach me and come closer to me. There is no other way. We do not draw near to the Lord by our feelings and emotions. We did not get brought near to the Lord through our feelings and emotions the first time. They have nothing to do with it, although they're affected by everything. Feelings and emotions are affected by anything and everything. Turn the TV on. Look, don't turn the TV on. Just sit there on the couch. Look at the wall and your feelings are affected, your emotions. They're always active. But you didn't, I didn't, we didn't get to God. We weren't brought near to God by how we felt or our emotions or feelings at all. We were brought near to God by the blood. You want to see it in the Bible? I'm glad you do. Ephesians 2:13. Let's look at it and we'll come back. Ephesians 2 and 13 tonight. This is a Bible study. That's why we're here. The Lord can minister the truth to your heart, change your life in a moment's time. It's the truth that will liberate you. It's the truth that shines light on more truth for you to be able to walk in. The Lord can only minister truth to you from truth He's already ministered. Whatever He's trying to get you to see, He's going to offer it to you in the light in which He's already revealed Himself to you. Truth can only reveal truth. Truth can only reveal truth. Your foot tracks in truth can only lead to more truth. That's the only place the Lord leads. So look at this. Here it is in our Bibles, Ephesians 2 and 13. But now in Christ, everybody say, in Christ Jesus, you who were at one time far off, it says who sometimes were far, that means before, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. When we came near and we were, the Bible says made near. We were brought near to God through, we were being wooed by the Holy Spirit as we were hearing the gospel. We were trying to debate whether we were going to accept this or not. And we were sitting there and I heard Pastor Lindsey Bass say something the other day. I might have said this Sunday morning. I don't remember. But if you're still trying to figure it out, you're in the flesh. If you're trying to figure it out, you're in the flesh. All resistance of the gospel is people trying to figure it out. A submission and a yielded heart to it is just that. I'm not trying to figure it out anymore. I simply believe it. You see, you don't get the gospel intellectually. You get it from a believing heart. If it had to be an intellectual thing, then only intellectual people could get it. And God's offering it to the smartest, to the dumbest. He's offering it to the richest, to the poorest, to any nation, any tribe, any tongue, any condition, anybody, anywhere. It's not about the intellect. It's about just simply giving my heart to the truth of the gospel. And the way that we were made near, brought near, was by the blood of Christ. No other way. We weren't brought near to God because we went to church. We might have went to church, but if we got near to God, it was because our hearts touched Calvary's Lamb and that blood shed. Everything. And they're up and down, up and down, up and down when they could be running a race. Hallelujah. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says that there was a race set before you for you to run, and then it tells you how you do it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And the more full your assurance is of that faith, is the better you're going to find yourself running that race. Hallelujah. With less distractions. There'll always be distractions, but the more full your assurance is of faith, the less you're going to let distract you. So let's go back now to where we were, Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 22, let us draw near. What does it take to be able to draw near? A true heart. That's a heart of sincerity. That's a true heart. That's not me saying something to look good in a sanctuary full of 500 people putting on a show. This is God finding my heart to being sincere like Cornelius was. He wanted to know this God. He thought he was doing good. I'm doing the best good that I can. God saw that man. He had a sincere heart, but he was sincerely wrong in the way he was doing everything. So God sent Peter to deliver the message that could cause his heart to be sincere and true in God's eyes, and that's the gospel. There is no sincerity that's true in God's eyes if it's not touching the gospel. So let us draw near with a true heart. And that word heart really just means the heart of who you are. It's who you are. It's not what I do for a few minutes at church and then go my way. Listen, if I've got a true heart and I'm trying to draw near to God with a true heart, that means when I leave church, it ain't over. It's still going on. I'm trying to draw near. Amen. Church service, praise the Lord for it. We can have a good time worshiping the Lord together. It's new covenant. It's the church age, our responsibility to gather with each other, to edify one another, and to play our part in a living and functioning body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Ain't none a part of this physical body somewhere, sitting somewhere saying, I'm doing my part. No, I got all my fingers here. I got all my toes here. I got both legs, and I got some crippled parts, but they all here. Amen. If y'all don't know what that means online, there's a big, pretty amen sign over there. Let us draw near with a true heart. Can't draw near without a true heart. Can't draw near without a true heart. 15 minutes of I'm broken because I got caught in sin. Well, God's faithful to forgive you if you call on Him. If your faith is in the sacrifice, He'll forgive you. Even though you don't know how to live for God, He'll still forgive you if your faith is in the sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sin. But guess what? The sun's going to come up tomorrow and you're still going to be in trouble. You got to learn how to live. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. The assurance that we have can be full that comes from this faith we live by. You need a full assurance that's of faith. Let me say it that way because that's the way it's written. You need a full assurance that you're not getting anywhere else outside of that which faith brings. And you've been given the measure of faith. Everybody know that, right? Everybody understand Romans 12:3, God dealt to all of us who are Christians the measure of faith so that we wouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but we could think soberly, the Bible says there. You want to know what sober-mindedness means? It means keeping your mind on what made you sober the first time you got sober. And I ain't talking about sober from drinking alcohol. I'm talking about becoming sober and not drunk on this world's religion system anymore. Amen. You became sober-minded. You stepped into the sobriety of Jesus, hallelujah, when you got saved. And that's the only thing going to keep your mind sound. It's the only thing that's going to keep your assurance full when your faith remains in what He did at Calvary. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. The full assurance is of faith. It won't come any other way. And think about this scary, scary thought and reality, actually, that if we get faith wrong, we can never have a full assurance. I want you to think about that. All those years that we did not know, and 90% of the church right now that does not know, their heart has to be yielded to the death, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They will never, they can never have a full assurance that God intends on them having. That's why they don't open their lips when it's time to deliver the gospel. That's why they keep knocking holes in the wall, because their faith is not where it should be. If it is where it should be, there will be an increasing of the full assurance that comes of faith. I didn't say we would never mess up, but I tell you what, in the church, we're either growing in an increasing way in being determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified, or we're growing in the other direction, where we're not determined to only know and to preach and to trust in and depend upon the death of Jesus. Amen. Let me say it again for the sake of those of you who might be struggling. If you get faith wrong, you cannot function with the full assurance of faith, because faith won't be right. Nothing can be right. And the church needs a full assurance of faith. The reason we get caught, we just go off after all these political, and we go off after all these Hollywood, we go after all these things. We even put our feet back and say, well, God is a God of love. We might as well let homosexuals come into church and even pastor churches. Those people are not sure of anything about God. They're not sure about it. You'll be blasted if you say what I'm saying right now. You'll be blasted and called a hater and not loving and warned that if you keep saying those things, that they will take you off YouTube. If they take us off YouTube and Facebook, that means God's got somebody else for me to reach in another avenue. It ain't about money. It's about the gospel. And if we get cut off from some avenue because we're preaching the gospel, which means you're standing against those things that are sinful and an abomination to God, then so be it, because God's got somebody else for you to reach. Amen. But we got to be drawing near. See, that's really what we're talking about tonight. And in this verse here, let us draw near. But to do it, you got to have a true heart and a full assurance of faith. Faith has to be right. There's only one thing that makes faith right, and that it's in Christ. In Christ means it's in His death. If it's not in His death, it's not in Christ. In Christ is not an imagination in my head. And that's what most of the church thinks. Well, my faith is in Christ. I don't know why I'm a drunk. I don't know why I'm still doing drugs. My faith is in Christ, and this has been going on for 20 years. My faith is in Christ. I don't know why I keep messing up, because I do believe in Jesus. No, they believe that is a true story. They believe that they were saved at one time, but they are not allowing God to deliver their heart to that place of death. You see, for the Christian to believe in Christ means that you now have recognized your faith, your union with Christ, rather, is your faith in His death for you and what God did to you there, so that now, moment by moment, He can do in you and through you what needs to be done. Your union with Christ is in His death. And if you're not learning that, then you're really not experiencing your union with Christ. It is not this building. Your union with Christ is not whatever you do. Your union with Christ is your heart yielded by faith to His death. That is where God delivers you to every moment of your living life, so that your faith can be true and your assurance can be full. Those scriptures there in 2 Corinthians 4:11 and 12, they're so powerful, because all the benefits come from you accepting that reality. It's what's wrong with the church. It is. I mean, our faith hasn't been right, and for the most part, it still isn't. As a whole, people get mad and irritated. Who does he think he is? He's just a nobody out there, and I'll agree with that. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just a nobody out here, but I do know what my Bible says. My Bible says that God always delivers us unto death for Jesus' sake, so that we can express the life of Jesus out of that death. And if that's not where our faith literally, deliberately, and consciously is, then our assurance can never be full, and we need it to be now more than ever before. We need to be sure now more than ever before. Love. Well, I know God loves me. Well, I know that's more than feelings and emotions. That's a scriptural truth that can register in your heart, because He manifests that love on Calvary's tree in His Son. That was the manifestation of God's love. That's where Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So where's the drawing? It's from the death of Jesus. God don't draw anybody else to no place to meet Him or to commune with Him or to be used by Him other than the death of Jesus, because everything flows out of that, even the assurance that can be full because your faith is there. Amen. I know I'm preaching in the last few minutes of this backslidden apostate church age, but that's all right. I'm still doing it, hallelujah, and you're still sitting here listening. And I hope you're still here at this time next year. If the Lord tarries, I believe He's coming tonight. I believe we're going to see Brother Dale tonight. And when we see Brother Dale, he ain't going to say, welcome. It's going to seem like we've been there forever. I want you to know that. He's not going to say, where have you been? He's going to say, man, isn't it good to be here? Let us draw near. See, you can draw near to God. You can draw near. You can draw near to God. I don't care how close you are to the Lord. You can be more near to the Lord. That's an intimate relationship. You're His bride. He's your husband. And there should be a growing closeness, a growing nearness there. We can draw near to Him. He don't want you to sit on that windowsill like a little bird. He wants you to come on in. Hallelujah. He made a way for you to enter on into that holiest of all through His flesh being rent on that tree. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Makes it sound like here in this scripture that if you don't have a true heart in full assurance of faith, you're not going to be able to draw near. So do you see how the true heart in full assurance of faith has to be tied to the blood of Jesus because there's no other way to be drawn near? Do you see that? Do I need to say it again? The true heart in full assurance of faith being the only way to draw near to God is tied to the blood. Your faith in the blood, because there is no other way to draw near to God. You might say you draw near to God by singing praise to Him. Well, whatever you want to think, if you're, God hears the praises of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. That is the praises and the worship of His people that's done in spirit and in truth, and that means from a right object of faith. A right object of faith. A wrong object of faith, and you can have the wrong object of faith even though you're saying, well, of course, we all believe in the cross, brother. But you're not trusting in it. You have to trust in the death of Jesus. And when you start doing that, your life is going to change. It's going to change, and you're going to go out back and kick yourself for not doing it a long time ago. Although it's not a fun and it's not a tiptoe through the tulips of holiness, but it is worth it every step of the way. Because when we're in His way, we're being moved out of the way, we're being denied, self is being denied, and Christ is being glorified. Who doesn't want to draw near? Because the more near you are, the more fruit you're going to bear. I can't sit on the couch and Robin sit over in the recliner and us have a house full of kids. We got to draw near. We can't even get close at the kitchen table. That's close, but that ain't close enough. We got to touch. It's the same way with spiritual fruit. Your heart has got to touch Calvary's Lamb for there to be fruit. Just because you got saved, just because your heart surrendered to the truth of Calvary 40 years ago doesn't mean there's fruit now. Your heart has to be touching that in your union with Him found only in death. Your fellowship with Him is in His sufferings. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice this, that our hearts were sprinkled from an evil conscience when we were saved by the blood. Let's go read Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, I believe it is, verse 14. I love this scripture. Of course, I love them all. Hebrews 9 and 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, the blood, let's don't sing the blood for 50 years and lose its value within our hearts. Let's don't sing draw me near the cross and not expect to be drawn near the cross. Keep me near the cross. Let that be more than a song. Keep me near the cross. That was written with great revelation truth. Keep me near the cross. That doesn't mean a wooden tree on a hill in outside of Jerusalem. That means keep me near the Lord who died for me on a cross, because that's where I met Him, by being drawn to Him, immersed into Him, so I could be put away with Him and become a part of the new creation in Him to never die again. How much more shall the blood of Christ... The blood of Christ. Why has it always got to be about the blood, preacher? Because the life you're looking for is in the blood. the life you need in your marriage, the life of Christ you need to raise your children. It's not outside the blood. And that's why every moment He delivers you unto death, because the death of Jesus was caused by the blood pouring out of Him. And that blood offers life to you, husband, you wife, you children, you parents. It offers the life that we need in a dead world. How much more shall the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ. You know how easy it is to get caught up in a church for 30, 40 years singing songs that don't really mean nothing, or if they do mean something, it's only just some emotion and some feeling, because we know it really took the cross for us to be saved, but we don't know that it takes the cross for us to draw near this moment. This moment, it takes the cross. It takes a yielded heart serving obedience unto righteousness, Romans 6:16. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself. That's a powerful verse there. It tells us where the power came from when Christ offered His life at Calvary, by the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit. You see, the Godhead was at Calvary. I want to say that again tonight. The Godhead was at Calvary. There's more than one way I know the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Christ, the Bible says. And the Bible also says here that what He did on the cross, shedding His blood for us, was done through the eternal Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 5 says that God was in Christ reconciling sinners to Himself. The Godhead was on the cross. The Godhead was on a hill outside Jerusalem. You'll never tell me that won't be the most important day or event in all of eternity. Thousands and millions and billions and trillions of light years of time from now, it will all have been, whatever's going on, will have all been about a man named Jesus who went up a hill, carried His cross, and laid His life down for this world. It'll always be about that. It's never going to be about anything else. It's all about that in heaven right now. It should be all about that in the church right now. And I mean all. Hallelujah. We ought not be traveling all over the country preaching nothing but the gospel, because within the gospel parameter comes all the rest of the stuff. Outside the gospel, ain't nothing coming from God to us. Paul told the church in Rome when he wrote them, he said, I can't wait to get there and impart a spiritual gift unto you. Romans chapter 1, he says, so that our faith can be mutual. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I can't wait to get there. You know what? He couldn't wait to get to Rome and preach the gospel to an already saved church. He didn't say, I can't wait to get there and preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost so then you can live in victory and have fruit and then our faith can be mutual. He said, I can't wait to get there and preach the gospel so that I can impart a spiritual gift unto you. See, it ain't coming outside the gospel. It ain't coming outside the gospel. God forgive those who have, what's it called, that word, they've usurped the authority of the word and doing what they feel like needs done. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel, will lead you right into the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is the impartation. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Remember where we're at in Hebrews 10 about having our evil conscience sprinkled. That's talking about the cross. That's talking about that evil conscience having been washed away. Watch this now. Purge your conscience. This is what the blood of Jesus can do for you. The blood of Jesus can purge your conscience. You know, if your conscience ain't good, you can't be sure about God. You got to have a clean, pure conscience to have the assurance in God that you need. That's why the greatest assurance you can have of God is what Jesus did for you at Calvary. Everything else is just a feeling and an emotion, and that's why the church is in trouble. Again, that's why it's up on the mountain, and that's only a mirage. If faith ain't right, that's only a mirage. We say they're on the mountain one day and lower than the valley the next, but the mountain was a mirage. If their faith ain't right, they just thought they were on the mountain because their feelings and emotions were up on a mountain. But watch now. Purge, the blood of Christ will purge. That means cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. A dead work is anything the Holy Spirit's not doing. And there's a new covenant now. We're a part of it. And the Holy Spirit works within the perimeters of a new law. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So the blood of Christ will purge, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And let me say it again. Everything, God sees dead works as works that are not of the faith. It's just, man, there's a lot of works in the church. There is a lot of works, but they are not all flowing out of the faith. If preachers would come back to preaching this glorious, powerful gospel, then they wouldn't get themselves in trouble. And I need to say that a better way. If they'd come back to believing it, because you can be preaching it and get yourself in trouble. It's a heart issue for all of us. Purge, the blood of Christ will purge your conscience. You ever had a guilty conscience? That means the blood of Jesus wasn't working. And it wasn't working. Life wasn't coming because you didn't have your faith in it. If your faith is in the blood, your conscience clean. I said, if your faith is in the blood, your conscience has been made pure. I got a Bible, hallelujah. Don't come up after church and say, well, yeah, preacher, but, and I'm going to say, no, carry that but somewhere else. My God says that the blood of Christ can cleanse my conscience from dead works. This is exactly what the message of the cross has done for many. When God brought our attention and our focus back to where His focus is always at, and we saw this, we lit up like a blaze of glory, that the fire got shut up in our bones, and I'm telling you, we begin to move away from all the dead works that we'd been a part of, and we got involved in what it really means to serve the living God. See, serving the living God, your heart must be touching Calvary's Christ. Not you saying, well, of course we believe that. I get so tired of hearing that by people that don't really believe it for moment by moment. They just believe it's what saved them. But they think now they need all this. All you need to do is admit what the Bible says about where God's delivering you always. And if you will admit that, accept that, and learn to follow Christ, because you can't follow Christ if you're not accepting that. Because realizing that God delivers you unto death always for Jesus' sake is really what Jesus was teaching when He said, can't no man come after me lest he deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, where God delivers us is the only place where we lose self. Self can't be lost nowhere else except our faith in our union in the death of Jesus. You can't lose self. You're not going to buy a book and read it on how to make self stop destroying your life. Self can only self-destruct, or it can be denied. Amen. So, let us draw near. Verse 22 again, our main scripture tonight. Let us draw near, Hebrews 10 and 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Where do we draw near? Where Christ drew us when He was lifted up. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And remember, let's read Isaiah 32 and 17. I'll just read this. We don't have a lot of time left. I really like to preach about 3 or 4 hours.
Y'all just cut me short every Wednesday and Sunday. So if you want to watch the rest of some of this stuff, you have to tune in on Monday and Friday. And then it still ain't done then. If you want to hear more than that, then man, you're going to have to move in, I guess. Isaiah 32 and 17, here's where your God tells you in the Word what the result of the work of righteousness, the work of the cross of Christ is. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of that righteousness will be quietness and what? Assurance forever. Assurance comes doesn't come from God through any other avenue or means except what Christ did to work that righteousness that brought you that peace. Assurance. You can be sure. If you're sure of who God is and what God's done for you and what He's done to you and where He's placed you, you can be sure that no matter what this world faces tomorrow, you don't have anything to worry about. If something happened and we're out there in a soup line wondering if we're going to even get soup tomorrow evening, you know what? We're going to be talking about this right here if you're around me. I'm not going to be talking about, I can't believe they did this. I can believe it. What we're going to be talking about in the soup line is this right here. So I hope all of you are near me in the soup line. And if my lip's hanging out, I hope you start talking about this to help me suck my lip back up. I'm not some superhero. My lip can hang out just like yours does. But if we in that soup line, God forbid, we get focused on what put us in the soup line instead of focused on what Jesus did to bring us into His kingdom. You need a full assurance, but it ain't coming outside of faith. And faith is not faith unless it's in Christ and Him crucified. The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But all God's words are in righteousness. See, there is no full assurance of faith unless righteousness is involved. Righteousness is involved. See, the reason when you go to bed at night that you don't go to sleep all fearful and scared out of your wits is because you now know that you're not a lost sinner anymore. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if you pass on while you're sleeping, you're just going to wake up. You're going to be with the Lord. It's all because of righteousness being worked for you at Calvary. Remember, in these sessions, I hope we've got a little bit of it. It's always the righteousness of faith. I say it like that because I want us to understand, and I know the Lord does too, it is the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith is the righteousness that was worked at Calvary by Christ. That's the fruit of our faith is the righteousness of faith. It doesn't mean that it's just that you became righteous. It's that if there's going to be any fruit, it'll be the righteousness of your faith that's bearing the fruit. Righteousness is what guarantees everything for us. It was worked for us at Calvary. We're in Christ. We're righteous in Him now. We've got our feet in a righteous path, a promise from God in Proverbs 8 and 20 that He won't lead you anywhere else except in the paths of righteousness. He's robed you in His righteousness. He's put a breastplate of righteousness on you. It's all about His righteousness. And because you're righteous in Christ Jesus, your assurance can grow to such a peaceful and overwhelming peaceful state in your heart. You can draw near to God, more near than you've ever been. Don't wait for everybody else around you. Well, I'll draw near if they do. I don't want to look weird. I want to look weird. If drawing near to the Lord makes me look weird, I want to look real weird. You can draw near to the Lord with a true heart, but it's got to be in full assurance of faith. See, this is the power of the cross. This is the power of the cross, because there is no full assurance of faith that's not tied to the faith of Christ that we live by. This is all about, this is what it means to preach the cross wherever you're at in the Word, because it's, if God is always delivering us there, what is He using to deliver me to the death of Jesus? Genesis through Revelation. What's He using, Curtis, to deliver you to the death of Jesus? Always His Word. Because that's what His Word is all about. God wouldn't deliver me to the death of Jesus always if there was another way. But there's only one way, and it was the cross of Christ. And this Bible that we call the Word of God is always, if you're studying it and being led by the Holy Spirit of truth and grace as you study, you're going to end up at Calvary. If you don't, your hearing's not right. Because hearing has to be of faith. Hearing of faith. That's the only hearing God promises, the Lord Jesus promised. He taught us, those who have, more will be given. Those who have, not money. Those who have the hearing of faith, more hearing will be given. That's somebody who's drawing nearer and nearer, because He ain't giving you hearing to talk about everybody else. He's giving you more hearing because you want to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, full assurance that there is a closeness to my God that I can experience more and more and more. And that's what I want to experience. I want more than a church service two or three times a week. I want more than a good Bible reading study every day. I want to find myself being led by the Spirit into a deeper relationship with Christ. And if that's not going on for you, it can start tonight. See, that's the good thing. Maybe you've been stagnant. Maybe you've been where you are right now for a long time. Well, know this, the Lord's calling you to a closer place with Him. And that place is the cross. Keep me near the cross. And again, that song's not about keep me near a pole on a hill outside Jerusalem. Keep me near the redemptive truth of my Savior. Keep me near that. And when I look away, O Lord, woo me back to the only place where I can continue to draw closer to You. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise the Lord. We serve a good God, a powerful God, a God who will always minister to the heart that is hungry. And where He's ministering to a hungry heart, that life will be being changed for His glory. There's no such thing as God touching a heart, feeding the hungry, and there not any change, not be any change taking place. We're changing. Oh yeah, we're getting older too. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's going on the inside. The Lord has allowed us to go through things over the years that we've been together. Or I'll just say, for those of you who haven't been with us for many years, those of you who've been listening to this truth for many years, He's brought you through some things for the main purpose. I guess there are probably many purposes, but one of the main purposes is to draw you nearer. When you move away from the focus of Calvary, you're only going to be operating on feelings and emotions. And words to the Lord really mean absolutely nothing if the heart is not in it. Jesus said, "You honor me with your mouths, your words, but your hearts, they're far away from me." God's looking for the heart that'll say, "Lord, I'm saved. You saved me, but I want more. And Lord, I want it to be beyond this little moment right now. I want more, and I want to go to bed wanting more, and I want to get up wanting more. I don't care how busy I am, I still want more. I want more. I want to be closer to you. I want to be more involved in the living, functional part of your body, and I want to be closer to you. I want to be more sure than I've ever been, Lord. Is that your prayer tonight? Why don't you just lift a hand to heaven? Lord, we need this full assurance. We don't need to just be sure occasionally. And I thank you for revealing to those who can hear the Spirit of God call the church back to that place of sacrifice where we can know that you're delivering us always to the death of Jesus so that we can always have that full assurance of faith that we need to always be found presenting our bodies unto you, living sacrifices. Where we can always find you comforting us through the scriptures that point us in every jot and tittle to the sacrifice of the Lamb. I thank you, Lord, for the few all over this nation who you've brought out of a religious world, a religious church that really don't want to talk about the cross. And when they do, they want to move on and leave it behind. But I thank you, Lord, for the new covenant, kings and priests, that function in your authority based on your authority. That now we have in us and over us because of the great high priest, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for waking your church up to the reality of us being trained right now to reign at a later time in a different way. Being trained right now to allow grace to reign in our hearts through righteousness. And I thank you, Lord, for this message tonight. I thank you for drawing your people closer. And I thank you, Lord, for a people that'll keep moving closer and closer near to you, even when those they've walked with find a stopping point, at least for a little while. And Lord, help us to move on, to march on as the good soldiers you've called us. Hallelujah. Let's take a second and worship the Lord tonight.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord, let us see.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Tell him tonight.
Open of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I want to see you, Lord.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out we sing, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 to see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Yes.
I want to see you.
I want to see you, Lord.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
Is there anybody who'd lift their hand and say, I need prayer tonight? Anybody need prayer? We'll pray for you right here. There's one over there. There's a couple, two or three over here. We might as well all have hands and legs straight up in there. Anyway, we all need a touch tonight from the Lord. Lord, we lift each other up in this place. Not only these, but every one of those who are watching with us on social media. We thank you, Lord, for your touch upon our hearts, our bodies, everything about us tonight. We thank you for stirring our hearts, Lord. We thank you for lighting us up in these revival services, Lord. We thank you for lighting us up, Lord God. We thank you for bringing healing to our bodies, soundness to our minds, hunger and thirst to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for drawing us closer and closer. We thank you, Lord, for wooing us to be closer and closer to you, to continue, Lord, to grow, to continue to allow the fire to burn in our hearts that you began, Lord, when you saved us some time back, Lord. That good work that you began in us is the good work of the death of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that that's the work that you'll perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm thanking you tonight for that. I'm thanking you for the healing hands of Jesus to rest upon every person under the sound of my voice right now. In this very moment, Lord, I'm thanking you for the healing hands of Jesus literally touching every person that needs to be well, delivered from sickness or infirmity. I'm thanking you, Lord, for the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm thanking you, Lord, for the hearing of faith through which miracles take place in the church, Lord. I'm thanking you for that precious blood that was shed that we might know the power of our God and an intimacy like we've never known before. I thank you for it tonight. I thank you, Lord, for giving us testimonies of those you've healed, testimonies of those lives that are being turned around, testimonies of those that are willing and choosing to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of this faith that you've given us, Lord. We give you all the praise tonight. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor be it unto you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. I love you. The Lord loves you. Oh, yeah.